I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along to Ice Wednesday podcast. We are here to talk about an enthralling 0-1 against the mighty Millwall on Saturday. But in reality, we're not going to do too much of that. There are other things we've asked people to get in touch about or for them to give us suggestions. So thanks very much to the listeners on this one, because we've been relying on you very much for content. Joining myself, Stephen Goldsmith. I'm going to not see as always, because I think it looks like his internet might have gone down. I'll come to you first, Jimmy, because Gareth looks like he's frozen. Evening.
Good evening. Yeah, all right. How are you?
Yeah. Gareth can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's there.
Either that or he's really just frozen in time.
Really deep in thought, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just make a start, and he won't mind missing the very brief summary of the match of the weekend, I guess, which is where we'll start, but we're not going to spend too much time on this at all. Looks like he's back anyway. I wasn't very well on Saturday, so I couldn't go to the match. So, you know, not like I said, not that I want loads of analysis, but you can just talk me through, I guess, the way the setup and how it looked. Three at the back, was it? The first?
Probably, yeah. I think so. I mean, it was the same sort of system we've been playing recently. What do you want to say?
I'm really trying to wring out some match content. I know there is a reaction pod.
Listen to the reaction pod.
I was quite stunned, to be honest, that that Ellen and Mick went to the effort of doing that. So I am really grateful, because I wasn't expecting one. The only question I guess I would ask is, did Styles make any impact when he moved in the midfield, or take any chances there, because he's not really had much opportunity to show anything?
Didn't really stand out. I mean, I wouldn't say he was terrible, but it was one of those just anonymous performances from across the side, really. I mean,
excellent.
If you look at the stats, obviously we had the better of the game, but we just had no threat, really. Clinical threat going forward. We created chances. We had 13 shots, only three on target. They had three shots, one on target, which they scored from. Obviously, Watmore getting the goal, quite funny. My main thing was like just Bradley Dax kind of pointlessly playing, really. I think he was fairly anonymous. I think nearly half the touches he took in the first half were taking corners, which is quite impressive on the one hand about how little he can be involved, but on the other hand, you've got to wonder why he's playing. I know obviously we've been over the strike situation before, but is it really worth putting him in when he's probably quite obviously disinterested and also not here for very much longer anyway?
Well, it's an indictment on the strikers who are at the club.
It is, but
indictment.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd just rather play Hemi at least, just because he's our player. He could be here next season. If we want to loan him out or sell him, probably need him to be playing a bit. Probably couldn't have done any worse than Dak did, to be honest. But that, like you say, it's a sad indictment all around, really, isn't it? Because it's not like he's done anything at all either. So, yeah, just a bit very, very much end of season feel about it. I think Millwall, obviously, although they're safe, they're quite recently safe, so possibly not been on the beach as it were for as long as our squad have. So maybe add a bit more about them, but they certainly didn't look very good either. And definitely want to file under another anonymous performance this season under Mike Dodds, which is interview for the job, if you like, since he took it. Hasn't really been going to plan, has it? And I don't really think there's many people now who would be looking towards him even being at the club, really, going moving forward. I don't know whether there'll be
It's
much of a
interesting because
choice.
a few people did fire over those and say, like, why are we playing five at the back at home in Millwall? I mean, five at the back, three at the back, however you want to say, three centre halves. I actually liked that for us last season and it worked really well. That was what we were sort of playing when we had our charge to the playoffs. I think, as much as anything, Gareth, for me, it's like, this is the other side of the coin to what Tony Mowbray brings, because Dodds is clearly focused on making us hard to break down, and he's succeeded, you would say. And when you look at the amount of goals we've conceded in the last five, six games, but it's come, the cost is at the other end. We look like we just don't have anything, and this is what can happen on the other side of the coin.
I think we're a very top-heavy team, though, aren't we? In terms of the squad, a lot of the signings we've made in the last few years have all been sort of attacking midfielders, flair players, wide players. Aside from strikers, obviously, but it's generally been more. We bring in the, sort of exciting young attacking players, and we haven't. We kind of utilised that before. We seem to have great problems trying to get those players on the ball now. I don't know. It's hard to pick the bones out of it, to be honest. I mean, just thinking about there's a variety of factors. I think, one we. This is probably the first season in about 11, 12 years that we've had nothing to play for. So it's a bit of an alien territory. Usually you kind of find you in a relegation battle or trying to go up or something like that. So that's an interesting thing. But I think before under Mowbray, it was a case if you'd go at the game and at least, even in defeat, they'd have had a go and. We knew what the limitations of the team were, but that always, even if we got humped, 1 week, the next week we could take a team apart ourselves. Played some really nice football, so you could take that. It was like, you know what, this isn't. We're sort of doing better than expected, up towards the playoffs, got into the playoffs, and even when Mowbray was sacked, we were what, 6th, 7th, so. We've gone from that to, the last time we beat won a game at home was the 10th of February, I think, or was it the 24th of February? I'm trying to remember.
Well, the 24th was Swansea, wasn't it? So we
No, it's
lost
no, it's
that.
10th. Yeah, so it was the 10th of February we last won a game, beat Plymouth. That's the last time we had a lead in a game. We've scored two goals at home since 10th of February. So if you go into the game, there's nothing to play for. We haven't really. We're kind of rudderless because we haven't really got a manager. We didn't. We kind of gave up on the season in January, and it's just a bit like. I mean, I heard a few people around me talking about this, and I was saying to my dad, "Do you actually want to go to the game against Sheffield Wednesday? Like, what's the point?" Like. I know it sounds like, I should go to the game and like support the team, blah 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 blah. You get treat ultimately supporters have been treated like customers for years, so in terms of the product that's been presented in the last sort of 6 months, there's been no real respect, I would say, for
Agree.
the supporters in terms of giving supporters something. To actually, get a hold of when they actually go to the game. There's just been a complete implosion. 3 wins in 15. I mean, that's a third of the season. We've won three games.
Crazy.
It's you know, it's been, I think if we'd finished mid-table and it had been an inconsistent season where we've, you know, we've lose one, you win a couple, you lose a couple, and it would be annoying, but you finish sort of up a mid-table, you probably go, okay, fair enough, second season back in the championship. I think it's just because it's been such an implosion that it does, and it's a lot of the decision making seems has been so skewed. That's I think that's a reason for the frustration in a way, because you're like, what, we've done this on purpose sort of thing, like not got bad on purpose, but all the decisions have been done
It's not
in, it's
like,
like we've thought about this and decided this is a good idea. We've decided it's a good idea to appoint Michael Beale. We've decided it's a good idea not to sign any strikers. We've decided it's a good idea not to sign any midfielders.
to Sat Moberg decided it was a
Yeah,
good
we've decided
idea.
that's a good idea. We've just, you know, all these, we've decided to give up the Black Cards bar to Newcastle supporters. All these weird decisions that we've made. It's not like we've it and it's happened by accident. It's been a choice. So, you know, you've got Mike Dodds coming out and mentioning about, oh, you know, we're gonna have to look at experience in the summer and all this. It's like, is that a signal that there's gonna be a change behind the scenes in the approach? I don't know, but it
No, he's
seems
not
as though.
saying anything. He's just saying the same. Every manager's said that
Exactly.
thing. Yeah, I
Exactly.
mean, you said you don't want to pick the points. Let's not do that, because I did. Our listeners have sort of saved this session, and so I kind of want to like thank them for that. And we'll get through some of the things that they're asking us, because we don't want to just depress everybody in the ground. Although we still might do that with some of the answers we're going to have. And yeah, before. Just spoiler alert, we are going to do a bit of a 360 and come back to some of this stuff. So I'll start with a more another topic first, and then we'll come back to it, just to break things up a little bit. Stephen Nicholson has asked about our favourite or yeah favourite FA Cup replayers. Obviously, this is a topical, isn't it? And Artie goes a bit further than that and asks what we think about the club's stance or lack of stance, I guess, on the decision to scrap FA Cup replays from next season. I mean, initially I would suggest the Championship teams are probably happy at that decision as well. Attendances at Cup replays at the Stadium of Light suggest to me that, broadly speaking, Sunderland fans don't care about us as much as they might be making out now. Favourite replay first, and then we'll see if anybody cares about the replay thing. Jimmy, help us out, because I'm going to have to go
Go
way
on.
back for mine.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that in terms of FA Cup replays for Sunderland, we've not had any good ones really in the last, well, the last probably 20 years really. I mean, there was the famous Everton one under O'Neill that we lost. I think we had another one against Burnley, maybe under Moyes, that we lost as well. So going back to good ones, I can't think of one Sunderland one that's been good. I mean, there's been other good ones generally. Obviously, there was the Man United Arsenal one in 99 where Giggs scored that goal. That was good. There's been some lower league sort of giant killings and whatever. I think Wrexham had a couple of good ones last season against Sheffield United and maybe Coventry or someone as well. But I think generally speaking, with replays, I think for teams of League One downwards, there can be a really good sort of money maker. I think you're right, Stephen, that in the Championship, teams are less inclined to need the income, and like you said, attendances. I don't think it would just be us. I think it would be most Championship clubs. They're not, unless it's a derby type thing. Obviously, us in Newcastle, there was a West Brom Wolves this season as well, but they weren't replays. But had they gone to replays, the other ground would have obviously respectively filled up as well. I think, like, it's not that much of a big deal for fans to go to them. But I think, like, the idea of the FA Cup in general, I'd like them to stay, not so much from a Sunderland perspective, but I think they can be important for teams further down the pyramid.
I think my personal stance on that is, and I've said this before this news come out, I've always said that I've certainly said this for the last few years, because they don't appeal to the majority of people at clubs like Sunderland. Like, let's be honest, we can romanticize it all we want. My opinion would be that if both teams agree before the fixture that they don't want a replay, then they don't have to have one.
That would be a
But
good,
if but if one team says they want a replay, then you have to do one, which would obviously allow the lower league clubs to trigger that clause. That to me would be the easiest way to do it, and I can't believe they didn't think of that. And it doesn't matter if clubs start to say, "Oh, well, that's not fair," because some people can opt out of it. But that's a compromise, in my opinion, because I think the majority of teams would say, "Let's not do a replay," probably.
Yeah, like us and Fulham last season, we probably would have both said, let's just leave it
Yeah, let's
type
just get
thing.
it sorted on the day.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious one is 92 quarter final replay at Roker Park, Gordon Armstrong header. Still one of the best experiences and matches I've ever been in all my life. So that was an easy one for me. Is there any advance on that, Gareth? There's not a lot, as Jimmy said.
I think probably, losing 1-0 to Walsall at home, probably. That was a belter, wasn't it? I would say, you know what to do. If they want to get rid of the replays, fine. But say, if we go to extra time, the lower league team gets 80% of the gate. There you go. So they're still going to get. It's not the same as taking a team back, but you're still going to get some more money. I mean, let's be honest, a team like Manchester City, who's probably the this is the reason the, I mean, the whole thing. How many times have these teams who were wondering about it actually play an FA Cup replay in the last 10 years? Probably never, and they've got a huge squad. There's no reason for them to, what they might have to play one replay every 3 years.
Yeah,
And then
I'd
in the
almost think in the
replay.
Prem it's the lower half of the table who are probably more opposed to the replays than the so-called big ones. Like your likes of Wolves, like Everton, teams like that, because they'll probably have more, like you say.
It's
I don't know what the
probably
votes were,
unanimous
but
across the league, I would say.
yeah.
But anyway, it the whole thing, it's just an indication of where we are with the game, really, isn't it? Things change sometimes for the worse, for the better. Whether this will be for it'll be for the worse and financially for the lower league teams. So if that's the main sticking point, then we need to find a way to ensure that the teams are compensated accordingly. Maybe larger prize money for teams, in earlier rounds, or something like that, or some sort of, more money filtering down, from the top of the pyramid, to those lower league teams who qualify for the first round proper, as they like to say, the FA Cup. Maybe, I don't know, if a financial issue, because if money's not a problem for most, well, for any Premier League team really, so I'm sure they could afford to, stick some in a pot and, use that to compensate the teams that are missing out financially on replays, if it's that important, if it's that important that they don't play them, even though they go to like Australia and Dubai in the middle of the season or
Yeah.
3 days after the end of the
They're
season,
not
apparently.
fooling anybody, are they, with that stuff?
Well, it's garbage. Like, let's be honest, it's all about money, as always. It's they're not bothered, really. It's just an inconvenience. So, yeah.
And they don't help themselves as well. They're like with it, they've been self-harming the FA with the FA Cup for years. I mean, from the moment really they made the decision to play a semi-final at Wembley, I would suggest was the time when fans really start with the disconnect. It's just not taking in the fans' best interest whatsoever. Expecting them to trail down to London, especially if you're a Northern team, like
Yeah, like
twice
twice in the space of a month.
yeah. I mean, yeah. Look
Yeah.
at what happened when Sunderland played there twice in the Checkers Trading playoffs. Some
I mean,
people couldn't go the second
the
time. It
sheer
was just
cost of everything, it's
yeah, of
train
course.
tickets, hotels, like your match day experience plus your match tickets, like,
Must be a better way. They must be able to like wait till nearer the time to look at the geographical location of the two sides, and the pitch quality is that good now, and the logistics of these clubs is that good now that you could wait till the draw had been made and then say, right, we're going to play that game at Old Trafford, or we're going to play that game at Man City Stadium or Villa Park, or if it is two London teams, fair enough, play that game at Wembley. And you just move the if the clubs fixture clashes with it, just move, moving forward or back a day, the pitchers can cope with it as fine as we saw. So indeed. Right. So, we might as well just get to this bit now, I think. We are going to have a little bit of a chat about headquarters and stuff still, but let's just go straight in with this. Mike D, Stephen Nicholson, a few of us asking if the model trademark is going to hinder us in terms of what kind of headquarter we could bring in. Now, I know that you've both listened to the John O'Shea interview with Natalie Pike and Sam Allardyce, and it's the No Tibby Tabby Football Pod. It's a William Hill one, just to give full credit. And with, if you haven't heard it, John O'Shea was asked about his sort of enthusiasm towards being a potential Sunderland manager. So if you haven't heard it, here it is.
Sunderland, would you fancy that?
When you think of, I was there for 6-7 years. Amazing.
Is it that long?
Yeah. It's an amazing club, Sam.
It is.
It really is an amazing club. We had an amazing time up there. But it's a tricky one. Yeah, I'd love to be Sunderland manager, but I spoke to Tony Mowbray when he came into Birmingham about the kind of the model that they have there at the minute in terms of they're really going young players. And you kind of look, but it's, the thing for me is, yeah, it's a great idea on paper. And but
rarely works.
Look, the classic, rarely. You look at Bayern Leverkusen, Xavi Alonso, first thing he said was, right, I need experience. Goes and gets Xhaka straight away. It's almost the first player that he thinks, right, I need that central general to take control of things for me.
Right.
And experience, what's Xhaka, 31, 32
yeah.
type of thing. And if so you kind of have to have a mix. Yeah, you need to get young players in, the right, and assets to sell on and all that idea. Yeah, it's a brilliant, but the cutthroat nature of getting promoted, winning promotions, getting back to the Premier League, staying there and making your mark again, you need a blend of experience and youth.
Right, so interesting. And just to say it straight away, this is not about whether you want him specifically as a manager, and it's not about pining for somebody like Sam Allardyce either, who was very much someone who wants full control of transfers. And we've acknowledged plenty that we've all moved on from that. But this is like almost infamous now, isn't it? In the footballing world, what were you trying to do? Is that apart from the four or five people who like to like have a go at us on Twitter, is there anybody left now that is under any illusions about how harmful this is at the moment?
Well,
I almost feel like this is just a closing line, and we should never talk about it again after this.
Yeah. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, like you know, obviously the clip there, and what we've heard from managers who've been in our post, obviously managers who've left, the lack of control and sort of the limitations on the types of players that the club seem to be willing to sign and loan and whatever. It's obvious. Plus, then there's obviously the issues with existing staff who retain. I've got nothing against Dodds and Proctor, but it's obvious a manager would like to bring in their own staff, I think, to a certain level. Obviously, I know.
I've less of an issue with that one, me personally.
Well, I was going to say, like, obviously, Mowbray was able to bring Venus in, and I think Dodds and Proctor could well stay, but I don't think necessarily it should be beyond the realms where if say our number one target wanted to bring more of their own staff in, whether it would be a case of, well, you can't, or would it be a case of, well, we're going to not appoint you because of this, because we have to keep Dodds and Proctor, or you know what I mean? Say Will Still, for example, he wanted to bring in more than just an assistant, wanted to bring in two or three. Would there be a situation where we just had absolutely loads of coaches, or would
yeah,
we turn
that, well, that's
down
the problem.
Based on
and,
that?
And how often we go through head coaches and managers, I get that bit. I don't necessarily agree with how aggressive it is, but I kind of get that bit, and there's nothing. The you know, project Procter and Dodds were fine during the Mowbray era where we were like playing front foot football, and it was really so I don't really have an issue with that. You know, yes, somebody should bring in an assistant. For me, it's more the the ignorance towards, like, you know, the old infamous centre forward position, the whole of midfielder position, where you need these splatterings of experience, and every single head coach or manager has been completely ignored on that. Is this? Do you think Gareth is making a direct impact now into? Because the word's out now, isn't it? Like everybody knows about this. Every potential incoming head coach knows about this.
I think that's kind of been the case from the outset, though, hasn't it? I think some people come in and thought, well, if I get in there, I might be able to kind of wheedle some of my own ideas in there, but it never really happens. So it's very.
I don't think anybody would even think that now, though.
Steadfast sort of approach. I mean, the model, people talk about the model, so from a managerial perspective, it doesn't really line up. It tends to be out of work British managers, which is, I mean, fine if you get a good one. But that just seems to be, it's very strange in a way. But my thought would be if they were going sort of continental, for example, somebody who would probably think, well, if I can get over there and I want an opportunity in the championship to put myself in the shop window, if I can take the risk, go to Sunderland, do a good job with what I've got, then people are going to take notice and I can move on somewhere, enhance my reputation and go somewhere where I can do what I want. A bit like what I guess it kind of like what happened with Alex Neil, really. He went to a job which he felt as though he could do better. I mean, ultimately he didn't, and that happens. He won't be the first person to go to Stoke and fail. Seems over the years, it's a recurring pattern, a bit like ourselves. I would say that's the kind of manager we'd probably attract, somebody who's looking to think, you know, I'm going to do this, and if I do well,
it's like a foot in the door.
Yeah, like, and you know, that would probably reflect the kind of approach to the player acquisition as well. Kind of, if we sign these kind of young unknowns and few of them come off, they'll move on to bigger and better things. We'll get a decent fee for them, and that'll be that. And we'll try and reinvest it in someone else. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So,
Jack, Stephen Nicholson, a few of us are asking us about our opinion on the new manager head coach. Are we not appointing him because we're going for an in-work manager? That seems... I can't not be cynical on it. Does anybody think... Does anybody?
I think the logical thought would be they must be after someone in work, hence why they've not appointed. But like you say, the cynic in me thinks that because we've not appointed them.
History
tells us exactly. It's like the history says one thing, but the actions say another. Because someone who's out of work now, for example, your Heckenbottom or Cooper or whoever, any out of work manager at all. They could have been appointed at any point since Beale was sacked, because a lot of them have been out of work since then. And the fact that we haven't done either makes me think that we're after someone in work, or that either the person we want to appoint who isn't in work doesn't want to start the end of this season, in which case you'd have to question why they want the job at all, or we don't want to appoint someone anyway until the summer, which from a club point of view seems illogical. Because
do you know what it is? I think at the moment, though, Jimmy, there's more negatives to positives than appointing somebody out of work now who you want to appoint in the summer. Because if it goes terribly, they're going to have no cash in the bank to start next year, and the club are going to have to pay them. So
that's true. Yeah.
So it's
I
like,
never thought about that.
You're better off thinking, well, if the season's dead, let's not take any risks.
But
I don't agree with this.
We've got available right now, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't know what the squad's going to look like in the summer. So, I mean, my argument would be, well, if this is going to be the core of the squad for next season, you should get them in regardless of that, because you should be backing them to do a good job with
the
players that they've got. If not, then there's obviously a distinct lack of confidence in the person they're bringing in that actually deliver results with this group. So it's a bit of a strange one. So hopefully it's the fact that the person we want is not
available.
Is not available until the summer. Yes. Let's say we hope it's that.
That's definitely what I hope.
Well, we'll take a little break, and then after that, because there's a couple of names of people, obvious names that are doing good jobs in the championship that people have mentioned, and just a couple of interesting things to look at around that. So we'll have a little break and we'll come back and do that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, just to carry on with the potential head coach stroke manager talk, we're saying it's hard not to be cynical and think it's the delay in appointing one now isn't because they want somebody in work. History evidence tells us otherwise. Let's hope it is. I don't want people to come back if that is the case and say, see, you said that wouldn't be the case, because we're acknowledging now it could be, and we want it to be, and we hope it is the case. Okay, so we're just saying that. A couple of the obvious names people are bringing up as causes is Roll at Sheffield Wednesday, and somebody remind me of the guy at QPR, because I can't remember his name.
Fuentes. Marty right. Fuentes. Yeah.
Great stuff. I think, firstly, because a couple of people have asked us again, you know, is the model hindering us, and does it matter which manager comes in if they are bound by these restrictions and stuff? But I mean, the difference since Mowbray left should tell you that it does make a difference.
Still massively important,
of course it does. 100%. I mean, the Dave Roll one is so interesting because, like, when he took over 12 games into the season, that's a quarter of a season.
They didn't have barely any points.
They had 3 points.
Yeah.
Zero wins.
Well, we saw them, didn't we, early in the season? Well,
I was going to say, now, you know, I was down Hillsborough that night, and it was just, it could have been, if Sunderland could have been bothered, it could have been about 9-0. And it wasn't, you can't say, oh, that was down to tactics or anything like that. We were just faster than them, better on the ball, and then we just looked like we were two divisions apart. They looked slow, full of cloggers, journeymen. So the job he's done there, so just for reflection, like I say, that's a quarter of a season, 3 points. I don't even think we'd made a start like that under Grayson, had we? When we were in the championship. Mm-hmm. And that was early to mid-October, I think, when he got
it. It was about the same time as Cifuentes took over.
It was a couple of weeks before, I think, yeah. So anyway, since then, if the league table was to start from that appointment, Sheffield Wednesday would be 16th and Sunderland would be 19th.
Wow.
So I think, and that's not to say, oh, well, you know, it's not that much better than Sunderland, but the point is we have a far, far better squad than they do. So to have them ahead of us is just something else. I mean, Sunderland would be 1 point outside the relegation zone if the league table had started from then.
I'd add with him as well the conditions under which he works at Sheffield Wednesday, obviously with the issues they've got with Chanziri, the chairman, as well. They obviously haven't been, it's not like he's been able to spend money in January either. He's obviously done that with some smart recruitment, I guess, as well, either from him or from somebody he works with. So I think a lot of the signs with Danny Roll would be quite positive. I mean, I guess it would possibly hinge on whether they stay up or not, but as an opinion on him as a manager and whether we should look at him, I'd say definitely yes.
I think the QPR guy as well, not being mentioned as much, but perhaps they were in a bad position as well. Not quite that bad, but again, there was 2 games after So 14 games into the season, and QPR had 8 points at that point. And they were second bottom only. Well, they were above Sheffield Wednesday by 2 points. So 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws, 10 defeats. Again, we played them down Loftus Road and saw how bad they were.
It was great, actually. We just absolutely battered them.
Yeah.
We could have had more than we did.
Had we started the league, had the league table started from his appointment, then QPR would be 10th. And Sunderland would be 18th.
Wow.
So that is somebody having a QPR side much better than Sunderland since he's been appointed, like significantly better in the top half of the table, where again we are involved in a bit of a relegation battle. So that is now, that's not to say, oh, go after one of those two guys, but it shows that it's even in the worst from the club in the summer, and they just stick to what they've done in the last couple of years without any movement. It just proves that actually, like, yes, it does make a difference who you bring
in. Massively.
You can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter who you have because he's working under those restrictions. They need to get it right. But those two appointments show that these people are there, aren't they?
I'd add that if you look at those appointments when they were made by Wednesday and QPR, they weren't household names, they weren't well-known managers, they were, you know, managers from the continent with decent reputations in the game, I guess, but certainly not the established sort of championship experienced manager that a lot of people would point to as a club in their position should appoint. Obviously, let's be honest, neither of them had managed anything like in a division like the Championship. And, you know, I'd say it's also an advert for thinking outside the box a bit when it comes to appointments, generally, because it's not always managers who you've heard of slash have been managing the Championship before who are good. I'd like either of those two, but I think that type of creative approach to recruitment can bear dividends as well. So, yeah, I think it's certainly interesting. I mean, that particular QPR figures you've read out there, it's quite staggering how it shows how much we've dropped off and also obviously how good of a job he's done too. So, yeah, certainly interesting.
I also just had a crack because I was in the zone. Looked at the league table to see where Sunderland will be since if the league was to start from the day we sacked Mowbray. Slightly better than those two. So in 17th. So the end of Mowbray's era does impact a little bit. It's not just, you know, it's not like we're like, you know, it's not like the first two league tables had us like much lower than that. So quite interesting and depressing, that, isn't it? I think you talked about like, I don't know. I mean, if are we hoping Sheffield Wednesday go down? So there's just a chance that Roll would walk away knowing that he's going to get a better job after it. That's like not me just pinning all my hopes on one half of a season, but that's the scenario, I guess, we could hope for. I like Sheffield Wednesday, though. I kind of don't want them to go down.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be averse to it. It is a good away, though, to be fair. QPR obviously is safe now, aren't they? But, yeah, I think it's definitely, they're definitely avenues the club should be going down. Probably more Role than Cifuentes. Not my personal preference, but I think he is probably less likely. I think Cifuentes probably now has kept QPR comfortably, would probably be pretty much nailed on to stay there again, unless he was to get him. Although, I don't know, maybe he would be tempted. I just feel like Roll's ties to Wednesday would be less than his to QPR, but I'm not 100% sure on that, obviously. But yeah, I'd say either or among the other names that we've discussed.
Be interesting to see him and Gareth as much as anything, wouldn't it? Just to say, like, oh, look, we can do that.
Who do you think it'll actually be?
I think it will be, I don't know. Paul, I think it'll be some. I think Heckenbottom is I'm struggling to shake off Heckenbottom.
I think it just will be. I mean,
could be,
Because it's in line with every other appointment. So I don't really see.
It should be Cooper if they're going to go down that route, shouldn't it? No, it'll be a lap, but it should be.
Just, Yeah, but it's not going to be Cooper, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think it is. I, no, I don't think it is.
No, I think he's going to get the Wales job, isn't he?
He won't get the Premier League
That's
job.
Not the reason why he won't become
Cooper. No, I know.
He's going to get the Wales job.
Although, to be fair, we discussed this last week, didn't we, Gareth? He might not want that yet anyway.
You did. No,
but
I agree. But I just think it's like, you know, and again, like always, give every manager a chance. I like the heck of a connection to the area and stuff. And he was on. I don't think he played for the first team, did he? But
he had one, I think.
I remember him being around just because I remember his name. Left back, I think, wasn't he? I just think, again, we'll give him a chance and not going to be like negative about it. But it just contradicts everything they keep telling us, doesn't it? Because from what I can gather, Sheffield United didn't have a young squad at all. They had the opposite when they got promoted. It was very much a group of players who knew how to get it. But it was players who'd been promoted before, and it was players who played in the Premier League before, and very much like, we know this league and we know how we
definitely
get
a different makeup to our squad. Yeah. I mean, he did bring through a couple of the good young players, because he came through there. He was there under 21s manager before because he was caretaker from when Wilder got sacked. Then they appointed Jokanović and Heckenbottom went back to the youth team, and then when they sacked Jokanović, Heckenbottom came back in again. So he did work with the youth quite a lot, but he did do well, though. He got them from, like, 18th, I think, to the playoffs in his first season, then up in the second. So, you know, he did well. But, yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily that the jobs were comparable to what we need in terms of squad makeup.
Track record doesn't suggest it's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. But, we've seen under Dodds is that, you know, because you would like to believe, or when things were going well, everybody was suggesting that the whole idea and design was this front foot attacking football, and this is us now. And then the sack ball brain says it's because we're obsessed with progression, and what it's shown us now in the two with Beale and then with Dodgers' second stint is we aren't playing anything like that. So it seems all bets are off as to whether they even care about that or not. They were suggesting that they did, and that was all intentional. And I'm just not sure anymore. I'm really not.
It might be like a needs must thing from Dodds.
But it just feels like it's whichever, whoever it is, if it's somebody who plays hoofball, then Speakman will suggest that's part of his plan. And because the last style didn't work for us, and we had to change, and we know that, and we know he's just gonna say that he's just gonna adapt the appointment to make it look like it was all part
to fit
of the plan.
To fit the narrative of him always being right.
That's Gareth. Very hard to look past somebody like Higginbottom because history and evidence suggests that's the kind of appointment they're going to go for.
And it's not being like negative, it's just looking at you know what's in front of your eyes. You'd only perceive it to be negative if you thought he was crap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think he is. I wouldn't be my first choice,
I just think it will probably be him, which would raise a question. Well, he was available when we appointed Beale. He was available when Dodds has been in charge. So why wouldn't we have appointed him sooner? I don't know. I mean, I've given a reason, but as to why that's something like that might happen. But again, it's all hypothetical because we could appoint some bloke from Salzburg's B team coach or something in the summer, and it'll be like, yeah, that's more actually in line with probably the model or whatever. I guess just have to see what happens. But I think it's just, you know, when you're at the game at the weekend, it feels like everyone's gone apathetic again. I don't think that's a layer of entitlement at all, you know, from fans or anything like that. I think it's just, it just feels a bit like it. We've seen this before. We've kind of endured it before, and it's not about bad results or anything like that. Because you know you can get beaten games, and you've had a go. It feels it's rudderless at the moment, and it's definitely spread, I think, to the support, to the point yeah. where it's just completely flat. And everyone's just there in body, but not in spirit. I don't really blame people, and people are like, you know, joke about posting photos like Sunderland fans walking out or the stadium's empty and laughing at the attendance. Well, there was 40,000 there at the start of the game. But can you blame people for walking out?
Not really. There's plenty of other things you know, to do on a Saturday afternoon.
I'm looking at the clock on 30 minutes going, I've got to sit through another 60 minutes of this. Like, and then when there was the injuries and that, I was thinking there's going to be loads of added time here. And it, you know what I mean? It's like you're kind of enduring it going, well, if I do this, then when it's good again, at least I can go, well, I sat through that.
It's like we were saying before, the contrast just from earlier in the season to now, like, because normally in the first half of the season, I always think stuff like, oh, I'll save a couple of away games for the second half of the season, you know, when there's more on the line and more to play for. And generally, the second half of the season is when every game matters. Like this time last year, we were literally like on a roller coaster, and you couldn't take your eyes off any of the games we were playing. And to go from that to this is just crazy. And yeah, the apathy levels. I mean, it's scarily what some clubs seem to have most seasons. I don't know how their fans put up with it, to be honest. But just having nothing to play for. Is just so draining. And then you look at the money you're spending, and for me, obviously, I travel from Liverpool to Sunderland for home games, and it's just been harder and harder just to justify going, like, now we've got nothing to play for. So I just watched the game on Saturday on my phone, because I was like, well, I'm not going to spend a whole weekend and spend a couple of hundred quid all in to go to a game that realistically means nothing in the grand scheme of things. And it's sad that I feel that way, but it's just how it is, and it's rubbish, to be honest.
Yeah.
So in the season we got relegated in the Championship, when we finished bottom with 37 points, we lost 23 games. We've lost 20 this year. Obviously, we drew a lot of games that season. That's a lot of defeats.
That's a lot of defeats.
That's
nearly half your games.
Well, it's half your games. 20. If it'll be more if we lose again. If it stays like that and we don't lose in the last two games, that's half your games. 50%.
Yeah. So you know, it's. I think that's the. You're watching us lose very regularly. You know, some people will come and say, oh, people throwing the toys out the pram because we lost a meaningless game at home to Millwall, or someone threw the toys out the pram because we lost this game. Well, the reason the game's meaningless is because we've played ourselves in a position where it is.
Exactly.
It's not like it's just become meaningless. It's not. It's only meaningless because of our own ineptitude. So, 20 games, to lose 20 games in a season is not very good.
No.
Like that's it. What we've demonstrated, I think, in this podcast and some of the stats that you come out with, Stephen, are very sort of, it kind of matches the eye. It's alarming to the point where we're talking about three scenarios relating to other managers, to Mowbray sacking and the two managers coming at those respective clubs, where we're 17th, 18th, and 19th in the table. You know, we're currently, 13th? You know, Millwall could finish above us.
They were in the relegation battle for 2 weeks ago as well.
I mean, I actually predicted that we'd finish 13th at the start of the season and got told I was being negative. But
we finished third.
I'm not surprised.
That is negative, though. Like, it shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, no, but it's like, say, the expectation was that we'd finish way higher than that. And it's like, well, actually, if you look at it on the basis that we haven't done, we've lost out all of our best players in the player of the season, our best striker. Yes, he was injured, but apparently because he's been injured, that means he was crap forever. And then Ahmad, obviously. And then we don't strengthen. You know, to me, the writing was on the wall, because the problems that were apparent and obvious. And that's a frustrating thing. Actually, my Dodds came out and basically made a comment And he used the word, it's obvious that we need to look at the number nine position or whatever in the summer. And it's just a bit like insulting because you're like, well, yeah, it is obvious. It's been obvious for like 2 years, mate.
Yeah.
And every time someone raises it, they're either told that they're being negative or that actually we do have a number nine. It's
or
that
we don't understand modern football.
Or we don't need one.
actually, Romain Mundell can play through the middle. Comes on at the weekend and plays left back.
Yeah,
couldn't believe
we had Styles
it.
On the pitch.
Oh, dude, I could not believe it. It was like, what on earth? I mean, I haven't seen anything from him so far. So
well, that's not going to help his development playing left back either. Is like, it, to be honest,
he certainly isn't a left back. Mm. You know, it's just bizarre, really.
It's when you look at the signings like him. and you just think, like, what was the thought process? Because we spent a fair bit of money on him by our standards, in that we spent some money on him, I guess. And, like, what impact were they expecting him to have, like, when we signed him? Because
early to judge still, I would say.
No, I'm not saying, and this is not, well, I would agree. I mean, I'm not writing him off, but what I mean is, like, what was the thought process behind doing that as opposed to spending the money on someone who could help us? Because at the point we signed him, we were essentially in the playoffs.
Well, we know the answer to that, Jay. That's just what they do.
It makes no sense. And I know we've been over it before, but it's just he's a prime example because he could well be a good player. He's obviously got some good attributes and he probably will get better the more he plays, but it's just not, we didn't need him. We didn't need a player like him when and that money could have been allocated elsewhere. For me, anyway.
It's just a shame that, like, you know, they probably are going to have to adapt in the summer. And, you know, yes, we'll thank them for doing it, but it's just such a shame that it's taken this for them to do it when...
Yeah.
What we were saying the whole time was, you know, when we were on the brink of the playoffs and getting in the playoffs with this young, exciting team, where this is an opportunity now. This is the time when you say, right, we build from here because we're close. Really
you don't
close.
wait till it falls down
that,
to build
that
it again.
Is good. Yeah, that's good strategy. That's good management. Not to just have an unshakable belief that what you're doing is right and ignoring those signs and then it taking this, something like this to happen to say, oh yeah, maybe we should have. That's always going to be the frustration, isn't it?
Yeah,
around this. Loads of players, loads of people, sorry. Just to wrap things up, we're asking us about how many players we can afford to sell, so like Tom Wilcock, Dan Hambleton, Ian Willis goes further and asks if we could sell Clark Patterson Ballard, for example, and rebuild. My concern would be if you're taking those three players out on top of losing Ahmad, on top of losing Stewart, like it's gonna how much is that gonna cost just to get us back to where we were?
Yeah, I mentioned it last week. I think part of a big part of the statement of intent that they need to make this summer is by retaining players as well as signing new ones. I think that needs to be near the top, not at the top of the list because we do need to strengthen. But like you said, any sales we make are going to set us back. So any transfers we make with proceeds are then going to be to a certain degree getting us back to the level we were already at, especially with key players like Patterson, Neil, Clark, Ballard. For me, statements of intent need to be. Keeping players as well, I don't think we should have to sell any of them. Obviously, our hands may be tied to an extent with maybe Clark and or Neil, but even then, that needs to be it. We can't be needing to replace our four best players all in one window when we're supposed to be progressing. Because if we took those four players out of the team, we'd be not just in and around the bottom three on four; we'd be in it. So if we're going to have to get rid of them and then try and build a stronger team than this season, how is that possible? It's not really, is it? So yeah. it would be a massive own goal to do
and
that.
We're yet to even see how the Stewart money is going to be reinvested.
Exactly.
And before people say that's already been spent, they are on the record saying that they would reinvest that money and for that Lehaji or whatever it was called as well. They're on the record.
Yeah, because didn't we get like a few
million? They're on the record saying they're going to reinvest this money so it hasn't already been spent, in their words. That's before we even get on a more sale. There's just a lot to do. I don't feel like we need to
And any sales are going to set us back in terms of, because there's already so much to do. Yeah. So exactly, it's nonsensical for me to do.
And then you got a new manager. This is it's just the opposite of stability, which is what we've been striving for. It's probably the most unstable position the club have been in years this summer, I would suggest. Anything, Gareth, you want to add before we look to wrap things up?
No, not really. Just, you know, it's frustrating after, you know, the elation of the promotion, the fantastic season we had last year, to really rip that up to the point where, you know, it's been diabolical, completely avoidable. To see people, you know, there's lots of open wounds, I think, or, you know, people have thin skin, and after everything that's gone on in the last, well, since we got relegated from the Premier League, really, to have to kind of, yeah, the part of being a football fan's enduring the worst bits, you know, and it makes the good bits better, but not being melodramatic, saying the worst it's ever been or whatever it isn't, but it just feels like it's just a continual frustration when the problem's staring you in the face. It's obvious to everybody, yet it seems it's just completely ignored, or it's explained to you in the fact that it's actually a good thing. So massive summer ahead, you know, really have to make sure if they do sell any of the better players, it's reinvested accordingly. Have to get the head coach appointment somewhere near correct. Otherwise, you know, and again, don't want to be shouted at for being negative, but everything's pointing towards a downward trajectory rather than an upward trajectory. You know, get it wrong in the summer, we could be in a relegation battle. And nobody wants that in the Championship after we spent 4 years trying to get out of League One. We can't be getting dragged into something like that, because it would be soul destroying. After getting out, I've spent so long trying to get out of there. So let's hope they can get everything right, and we meet the potential that we have. You know, they're trying to make some off the pitch improvements, which are long overdue, which is good, positive thing. You know, we need to match that with the team on the pitch primarily, and the manager in the dugout. So, you know, fingers crossed the grand plan finally comes knitting together in the summer.
Because as we know, when things start going well, the momentum can build quickly. And it did last season, and I'm sure it can again. But like you say, there's a lot needs to be done to get the wheels in motion.
Indeed. And let's hope that they reflect and improve the side. You know, they've done it before. I think it went against expectations of a season back in the Championship. So let's just try and have faith, if you can, that they'll do it again. And let's just get these last two games of the weekend fair play to another sold out away end at the other end of the country coming up on Saturday. Quite remarkable, isn't it? And at least we're going to have some sort of drama in the last game of the season, because Sheffield Wednesday very much might need a result.
Best time they've been out the bottom three of the season, two games to go, so that's timing for you.
Yeah,
that's when you want to do it. I mean, he must be, if he keeps them up, manager of the year, isn't he? Let's be honest.
That's,
I mean,
remarkable.
Unbelievable that job.
It is, and it's hard to look past. That's why so many people are looking at him, I think, with what we're seeing, justification to do so. Right, okay. Matt will be back later on in the week, if he doesn't forget what day of the week it is. He's had a nice break at Belfast, hasn't he? So he'll be refreshed.
You'll certainly be refreshed.
Yeah, I'm going there actually.
When nice. Great city.
So it'll be the first time for me. So yeah. Right, yeah. Matt will be back later on in the week to look ahead to that Watford game. And thanks very much for providing us with the questions and opinions, because it's kept the podcast afloat. I'm not sure what's going to happen if this becomes a regular thing where we've got nothing to play for, because it was just we're not used to it. We're not used to having to come up with content and
go back to one a week.
Yeah. We'll cut.
They're on the beach. We'll get on the beach.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. As always, thanks for listening.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.